God's good, ain't he? He's good to me. Good to you. Hallelujah. He's absolutely good. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that I was getting ready to minister on As He Is, So Are We in This World, Part 2, Unlimited, or Limitless. But today I was praying, and I'm going to be ministering just a little bit different. It's going to be different for me, but I believe it's going to be very good. This is something that the Lord dropped in my spirit. As you can see, I've got notes, but that's not notes about this. How many of you are familiar with Dad Hagen, Kenneth E. Hagen? There's a bunch of you. Amen. How many of you believe he's a man of God? All right, let's get to it then, because this is what the Lord gave me to share with you all tonight. The name of this is called the Coming Restoration. This is a prophecy that he gave. Now I want you, it's like the Spirit of the Lord was telling me to have the church to listen intently. Because I believe that as we read this and as we do this, that the Spirit of the Lord wants to speak succinctly and distinctly to each and every one of us. This is something that God really wants to be intimate. You know, I've said before in my ministry that we have an identity problem, or it's not really a problem, but we got an idea and a glimpse of our identity in Christ, but to the fullest of that knowledge, we haven't really got into the full potential of that. So God wants us to be so intimate with Him that His presence, and the Bible talks about His presence in us, it fills us, okay? And there's times that we need restoration, we need infilling, you know, we need refreshing, amen. The body of Christ does all the time. I do. So let me start out. I'm going to read this. And it says, the seer. Now this is the prophecy that he's talking about. And you have to remember, this is back in 1982, might be in 87, I'm not sure. But when I read this morning, it's like the Lord dropped it into my spirit. He said, I want you to read that. And I want the people to catch hold of the spirit that's in this. Amen. God's got something that he wants us all to do and be a part of. The seer. How many of you know the seer is a prophet? Amen. The seer shall stand on the horizon of time and see that which God has planned and know its purpose. So there's something that you need to make recognition of. We need to know the times and we need to know the purposes of God. I'll try to keep my remarks short, you know, but I really believe that this is, I'm just going to keep it short unless he prompts me to say something. Standing on the horizon of time, he shall look back into the realm of time and see that which the enemy has planned. Yea, 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 saith the Lord of hosts, this is the time of restoration. This is the time of visitation, the time of fresh renewing and outpouring. And so the visitation of the Lord shall be greater in these days than it was yesterday, and the manifestation of his power and glory shall be a 100-fold more than it was yesterday. Manifestations or supernatural miracles shall increase 100-fold more than we've known in the past. Yea, the glory of God shall be seen upon the face of many, and many without a word being spoken. Just looking upon the face of the men of God shall fall down in repentance and cry unto God. Members of that body, enhanced, catch this, members of the body, enhanced by the Spirit, on fire and maintaining. We can't let that slip. On fire and maintaining the glow. Men and women in the world shall look upon your faces and fall down and say, I don't know what makes you do this. Do this. I'll come back to this. Father, in the name of your Son, magnify your name. I say, Heavenly Father, God, your word is loud and powerful. The Spirit that we try to hinder the flow of the Spirit, that we try to hinder our ears, we lose the angels, the pipes of the body of Christ, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, by TV, those watching by internet, those watching by social media outlets. They'll be able to be ignited. The fire of the Holy Spirit, they'll maintain it like a fire that shuts in the bones. Father, thank you, I pray, Lord, that we come again, Jesus, our one. Again, thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, on behalf of the pastors. We thank you that you bless them. We thank you that you bless us, and that you call us, Father God, for purpose, for reason, to impact the area, Heavenly Father, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, there is no big eyes and little U's, but it's all of us. Every member supplying, every joint supplying, every part of the body supplying effectively what the body part needs in the name of Jesus. And we follow the head, which is, And we're the body. Jesus is the head, but we're under the head leadership of Pastors Mike and Pastor Annette. Amen? Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to start this again. Let's take that back. The seer shall stand on the horizon of time and see that which God has planned and know its purpose. Standing on the horizon of time, he shall look back into the realm of time and see that which the enemy has planned. How many of you know that the enemy's playing some things today? We're seeing some manifestations of the enemy. But God, okay? Don't get worried. Yea, 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 saith the Lord of hosts. This is the time of restoration. This is the time of visitation. This is the time of fresh renewing. Keep that in mind, and outpouring. So the visitation of the Lord shall be greater in these days than it was yesterday. And the manifestation of his power of the Lord shall be 100-fold more, and it was 100-fold more than we had known in the past. Signed one. Carter, read about, that happening. How many of you really want the move of God's Spirit? How many of you really want that? Amen. But, you have the habitation of God for your spiritual wellness. So, God, not only is it so, the day of the Lord God shall be seen upon the day of God shall fall down in repentance. This is not a minute of God, this is not a time of the five dimensions. Shall be enhanced by the Spirit on fire and maintaining the world. Many of this. Yea, the power of God shall be an manifestation in your heart, and many things that have been spoken even to me of God who sit in this place. Remember this act, the work of God down into the Spirit of the wind of God and in God, and they fire by human reason. That's impossible. That cannot be so. But yes, saith the Lord of hosts, all things are possible to him that believes. And with me all things are possible, and the impossible shall become possible. And even many have said, it is possible, but not probable. Yea, even the probable shall come into manifestation, and your heart shall be made to rejoice, and your spirit shall be glad, and the work of God shall be enhanced, and the kingdom of God shall be advanced. Amen. And sitting upon the horizon of times and looking not only into the realm of the spirit and seeing that which transpires in the spirit realm, for the enemy goeth about as never before, knowing that his time is short. Thou shalt know and thou shalt share, and those who know how to pray will rise up in this hour and then intercede, and the forces of darkness shall be driven back, and the evil spirits and the powers of the enemy that would encroach on the things of God and the people of God would be driven back. That's the reason why the church needs to rise up and take its rightful place. And so it is that the church shall stand tall in this hour and shall stand big in this hour and rejoice in his power, looking into the realm of time, not limited by time or space. Yea, I looked, I saw the hearts of men. Oh, they were disturbed and perplexed. Are we seeing that today? Okay. And I saw dark cloud rise up from the eastern part of our nation, and it came out of our capital. Sounds like today, don't it? And it came out of the capital of our nation, and men responded unto that darkness that arose and walked with it. And that darkness began to envelop this very land. But oh, the hearts of many that know God sensed in their spirits, and those of us that stand on the horizon of time shall sound forth a word of warning. And so there arise, or shall arise, the mighty ones, the glorious church, those called of God, separated unto him. They shall make intercession, and the light shall shine and drive back the darkness. The light shall shine and drive back the darkness. The evil and the wicked men shall fall. And there will be those, and remember it was told unto you in advance. It was told unto you years in advance. There shall be those in high places who will fall down dead. And some will say, they would have made such a great leader. I cannot understand it. But those who know the voice of the Spirit shall rejoice and be glad. For you shall know that darkness has been stayed and the hand of the enemy has been defeated. I hope this is encouraging you like it did me. Because, man, I took off around my house shouting, And the word of the Lord that is to be consummated in these few short years to come will be consummated, and the work of the Lord shall be done. And so that work which you shall be done, or shall be done in this hour, and the visitation of the Spirit and that revival that is about to burst upon you shall surely come to pass, and many, and many, and many, as the world would say, hordes of people shall be swept into the kingdom. And even in the places of this earth of seemingly utter darkness, the light shall shine in. And men and women shall rise up and exercise their authority that's theirs on this earth. For if two of you or three of you shall agree on earth in any nation, in any land, regardless of the government, regardless of the opposition, and regardless of the darkness, if two of you on earth, in North America, yes. In South America, yes. In Central America, yes. In Asia, yes. In Europe, yes. In Australia, yes. Behind the Iron Curtain, many nations of the earth, if two of you shall agree as touching anything, they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. For whatsoever you shall bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. And remember, it's the first heaven just above the earth where demons and evil spirits are ruling whole nations. We're just not playing games here, you know. We're just not coming to a church. You know, we're just not having a social gathering. We've got a plan. We've got a purpose, okay? They must be bound, Isaiah 27, 1 through 2 says. And whatsoever you shall bound on the earth shall be bound in heaven, and those spirits that dominate whole nations, that dominate certain corners of this earth, shall be bound, and the light shall shine, and the Holy Ghost shall be poured out. The revival will come, and hearts and lives of men and women shall be blessed, and whole nations shall be changed. And you shall enter into a new day, a new age, not a new age as men thinks, and you shall see that there shall be manifestations at the end of this age, a portion, a measure of power, the glory, yes, the glory, that shall be manifested in the age to come. And you approach that time now. For these, and this is in 1980, I'm going to say 82, okay? And he says we're approaching that time now. And if you remember, he said, you've known about it years in advance, these things. And he says, for these are the times of refreshing from the hand of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord, the time of giving from the hand of the Lord, and the time of manifestation by the Holy Ghost and the glory of the Lord. So rejoice, rejoice and be glad. Let not your hearts neither be sad, neither be pessimistic, but rather you look forward to the future with optimism, with gladness and love. For the light has shined and the glory is revealed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we rejoice just a little bit? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the coming glory. Thank you, Lord, for the revival, the refreshing, the times of refreshing. Hallelujah. You can look at Isaiah 60 just for a minute. I wanted to read that. You might want to put it up on there and just leave it if you want to. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. If you can, it says, "For arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth in gross darkness, the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." He's talking about the church. "And Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up your eyes round about you, and see all that gather themselves together. They come to thee. Your sons come from afar, your daughters by your side. Then thou shalt see and flow together." And this is where the body of Christ has got it. We've got to come and flow together. "And thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee." You're talking about wealth transfer. This is what Kenneth E. Hagin is prophesying about that time. How many of you listen to a lot of the prophets today? I do. They're talking about this. They're talking about this revival. They're talking about the coming harvest, you know. They're talking about how that the enemy has covered the earth with darkness, but how that the church, through intercession and through taking authority, are rising up. They're giving us strategies on what to say and what to do. I'm going to read some more because how many of you think this is good? Or is it just me? I think this is real good. Now, this ain't church as usual. I guess you all know that, don't you? Because this is something entirely different for me, and I didn't know how well this was going to go over, but I'm just bright enough to follow what the Spirit of the Lord says to do. And then the rest of us up to him and you and me. Amen. So I'm not sure what he's going to do. But I do know this. He's going to minister to you individually. He's going to minister each and every one of you through this word. I think you're going to see yourself as God wants you to be seen. Not as your cousin wants you to be seen. Not as your family sees you. Not as denomination sees you. Not as, you know, people around you see you. But God wants you to see yourself the way he sees you. The way he's called you. The things that he has for you to do. I'll say this about that no limits. As he is, so are we in this world. I'm going to ask you a question. Is God limited? Is God limited? Are you limited? That's right. We should not be limited. Because you have to understand, you're not walking after this natural flesh, after this natural man. When you become a born-again believer, 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says that you become a new creation. You've got a whole new nature on the inside of you. It's his nature. It's his DNA. You're his family. We're his family. So our identity has to come from this new spirit, this new man on the inside. Every decision that you make, every thoughts that you think, everything needs to become in. It's like a plumb line, you know. They have a plumb line on some of the carpentry that they'll drop. I think they got lights and lasers now, but they used to have an old plumb line that they would drop down to see if something was vertical and line up with it. So the Word of God is the plumb line. The thoughts and the hearts and the intent of God is written in its Word, and it's for inspiration, it's for doctrine, it's for reproof, it's for correction, it's for instruction in righteousness, you know. The body of Christ is more than just building of people, of believers. We are an awesome, awesome power. The power that's on the inside of us is kin to dynamite. Because when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's dunamis. Dynamic in its working. So when we recognize that up here, when our soul is renewed to that, and you quit seeing yourself as poor old me, or as I'm a nobody, you know, you quit seeing yourself the way your family sees you, perceives you, or even from your heredity in the past, you know. A lot of those things that come up through heredity, you're redeemed from it. So, rise up. It's just time for the church to rise up. And I know that some of you remember that I've been talking about how that the Bible promises long life and length of days. One of them that I liked, I think it's Deuteronomy 34:7, as God was with Moses, so is he will be with the McKenzie family, is the way I like to put it, that his natural forces were not abated, nor was his eyes or his vision dim. And I like to say it this way, Father, as you was with Moses, see, he died at 120 years of age, as you were with Moses, so are you with the McKenzie family. Our eyes see clearly, our ears hear perfectly, our natural forces are not abated, and our youth is being renewed like the eagle. Yeah. Think about that. But Brother Rick, you're 69 years old. That's a number. Yeah. Chronologically, yeah. 69 years old. But the new birth, there's no age. There's no time with God. Amen. The devil wants to try to use this old age stuff and wants to try to use hereditary to hold you back, to keep you from reaching your highest maximum potential. It don't have to be. Amen. You don't have to put up with aches and pains in your body. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be poor. You don't have to be. The Word's already, Jesus has already bought and paid for the price. Amen. All right, I preached my little part. I'm gonna continue reading with Kenneth Hagin. He says, the new wave, he says, be patient therefore, brethren. Me too. Unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. How many of you have heard the early and the latter rain before? A few of you have. Praise God. That's James 5, verse 7 and 8. And he goes ahead to, and this is, I like Brother Hagin. I just like the way, the simplicity that he teaches everything. He says James is teaching here, or talking here, about the second coming of Christ. Of course, Jesus is the husbandman. He hasn't come yet. That's quite obvious. Can you all agree with that? Say, that's quite obvious. Jesus hasn't come yet. Say it. Say, Jesus hasn't come yet. That's quite obvious. Okay? So he's waiting for some reason or other, isn't he? You can say yes. Okay. So he's waiting. What hinders him from coming? Now, this is Brother Hagin teaching. The Scripture tells us why he's waiting and what he's waiting for. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth until he receives the early and the latter rain. The precious fruit of the earth means a harvest. The prophets have been prophesying about the harvest, the coming harvest. Jesus has not yet received the harvest that is to come. He has not yet received the fullness of the early and the latter rain together. But I believe Jesus is coming. Jesus said he's coming again. Do you believe Jesus is coming again? Say, I believe Jesus is coming again. But he's not come yet. Why has he not come yet? He's waiting on a harvest. Okay. So, Jesus said he's coming again. The angel said he's coming again. The Word of God teaches he's coming again. We have a, and he's talking about there at Raymond. I'm going to read what he says. He says, we have a service every Wednesday night at Rhema Bible Training Center. And every time, he said, I've been there to conduct it. This is Dad Hagin. He said, I've used this scripture from James. I couldn't get away from it. In fact, some nights, as I was ready to dismiss, the Holy Spirit would say, well, you didn't read James 5:7 and pray, so do it. He said, I did it. I learned a long time ago that it pays to obey God. How about you all? Does it pay to obey God? Many have asked, is there a new wave coming? Are we in the new wave now? Remember, this is Dad Hagin talking in the 80s. Is there more to come? Personally, I believe, and this is his, he said, I believe that we've entered into the new wave in 1982. Certainly, there is more to come. Our text talks about the early and the latter rain. Another reference is Zechariah 10:1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of latter rain, so that the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them for, or send them, showers of rain to everyone or every grass in the field. Among other things, rain typifies a refreshing or a blessing. James wrote this letter to the Hebrew Christians who knew about Israel's rains. The early or the former rain occurred in November after the autumn harvest to prepare the land for future planting. The latter rain, of course, came in the spring prior to the harvest to mature the crops. In times past, we've heard preaching and teaching about the darkness that will cover the earth in these last days. But I think people forget about the rest of the prophecy, and I think this is a very important point. And he's reading that from Isaiah 61 through 3. And he says, that prophecy said, yes, darkness will cover the earth, but I think people forget about the rest of that prophecy. Isaiah is a prophet, right? That's the minor, some of the minor prophets, but I think he was a major one. Isaiah 61:60, verse 1 through 3 says, arise, shine. We just read that. The light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness of the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and Gentiles shall come to your light. Isaiah is really prophesying about the glorious access of the Gentiles to the church. There's coming a manifestation of his glory. How many of you heard that? Amen. Isaiah says it. In Acts 2, Peter preached a sermon on the day of Pentecost referring to the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. But in Acts 3, Peter's message reached over into the end times, its message that applies to us. In the 19th verse, he said, repent ye, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The American Standard Version gives a better translation. He says, repent you, therefore, and turn again, for your sins may be blotted out so that there may come seasons, plural, of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And I think that this is one of the things that the Lord is asking us to do, is search our lives tonight. And, you know, any area that you need to repent, you know, turn again, you know, be ready for the times of refreshing. Acts 3:20, verse 21 says, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution." Underline the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. You'll find that the Greek word translated restitution in verse 21 also can be translated restoration. And it reads that way in many translations. Notice that Peter connected times of refreshing, we often call them revivals, with the second coming of Christ. Thus, Peter taught us that times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord in the time of the Lord's return. So there are two things to notice: times of refreshing, times of restoration. This passage from Acts teaches us that just before the Lord's second coming, and I think this is very important, we will experience both, the former and the latter reign together. Some will ask what I mean by restoration. I mean, and get this now, I mean, he really lays it down. I mean the restoration of the power of Christ in the church. A notable distinction between us and the world, the power of Christ. Most churches are powerless. Amen. They don't know. Amen. The other thing is the restoration of the authority of Christ and the restoration of the character of Christ. God wants all three of these characteristics to be exhibited in the life of the church and in the lives of the individual Christians. Christ is the head of the church. We are the body. You know your head cannot exercise any authority except through your body. So Jesus is not going to personally exercise any authority on this earth except through his church. So what's that mean? The authority is going to be demonstrated through the church as we follow the head. So you're going to have to see yourself differently than you've seen yourself in the past. But the members of the church have been so weak. Now get this. Hang on just a second. This is an important point, and I don't want to cough it up. Healed by the stripes of Jesus. Okay. The head's not going to exercise any authority on the earth except it's through his church. Jesus carries out his work through the church. But the members of the church have been so weak they haven't recognized the authority and the power of the head. In the name of Jesus, I am healed. Voice, you come in line now. In Jesus' name. We haven't recognized the authority and the power of the head. The authority that belongs to them. There are many things that the Lord wants to do, and he's been trying to do them. You all agree with that? You think he's been trying to do them here? Okay. For many people, but they won't let him. They won't let him. They don't want to go any farther in their maturity or in their growth. You know, a church is made up of families. And a church is made up of individual believers under the leadership of the pastors. We've got to move on. We've got to move forward. We've got to keep going. Amen? And we've got to allow God to do this through us here. This area needs Jesus. I was crying the other day. And this is not bragging on me, but I was crying, interceding for this area. They need to see a true and a living Christ. They need to see a church that's alive and powerful and active and energized. And not so much interested in the world, but they're interested in seeing people saved, born again, delivered, and set free. You know, after the agenda of the Lord, after the agenda of Christ, and, you know, not putting other things first. But he says, lately the Lord has repeatedly brought to my attention the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And Paul is writing here to the church at Ephesus, Spirit-filled believers. You see the hands of you, those that are Spirit-filled and tongue-talkers. Amen. That you put off concerning the former conversation. What does that mean, Brother Rick? I like Brother Hagin. He's very simple in his teaching. I mean, he addresses every bit of this. This word in Greek means your manner, former manner of life, or your conduct. The old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man? That new man is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That new man is the man on the inside who has become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's not going to be. He is a new creature. Or a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. That man on the inside is a new man created in righteousness and true holiness. He needs to come out. You understand what I'm saying? He needs to show forth, not this fleshly part, which most people identify, the inner man, the new man. Even though Paul said to put it off, the old man, we're still living in the flesh, and that flesh hasn't been redeemed yet. Our flesh, our body, will want to go on doing what it always wants to do. So how do we put on the new man, and how do we put off the old man? Let's read further in Ephesians chapter 4. Y'all get anything out of this? I mean, yeah. Wherefore, putting away lying. How many of you know Christians shouldn't lie? Not even little teensy little white lies. No. Should not lie. But speak every man truth with his neighbor. Lying doesn't go with the new man, the inward man. Lying. So that's the reason why I said, you know, God's going to minister to people in here. And I'm not saying you're all lying. I'm just saying some of you might be. But I'm saying that there's things that God wants to reveal to each and every one of us, you know. So, you can repent if you want to. You should, if you're a liar. So, he says, be you angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. How can you be angry and sin not? By keeping your mouth shut. Kenneth Hagin, I mean, I tell you what, that's plain as the nose on my face. Amen. Nose on your face. Keep your mouth shut. Amen. Okay. Be angry, sin not, but keep your mouth shut. Anger doesn't belong to the new man. It's part of the old man. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now here's Brother Kenneth Hagin's explanation. Paul got both words in there, labor and work. He didn't say, let him get on welfare. Oh, he said, now this is Kenneth Hagin. He said, you know, you could take a little side journey here and step on a few toes. So he goes ahead and say, in times past of the early church, civil governments didn't have any welfare programs. The church took care of its own needy, including widows and orphans. Paul, however, writing to Timothy, said that when widows had children or nephews that could support them, not the church. In other words, if the widows had some relatives, they should take care of them. 1 Timothy 5:3-8. Now, we've gotten away from this. Now, he's still on this about work and labor, okay? He said, we've gotten away from this. The government is doing everything. Is that about right today? The government is almost God. Matter of fact, that's what they want to be. They want to take God's place. Amen. You see, Paul said that the widow's relatives should take care of them, and he said believers should work with their own hands to earn their own living. And then he goes ahead and talks about some of their students, how that they use mooch faith. I'll skip down through that. They want to claim everything that you've got. And he said one fellow tried to claim my new red Bronco. And he says, that's coveting. That's not faith. If he wants a red Bronco, he can claim one, but he can't claim mine. He said, I still got that Bronco, and he's still walking. A man who lives off of the other people is really stealing from them. I tell you what, the Word of God is good for reproof, correction, instruction, and in doctrine. Now, if you all were sitting under that type of teaching, I hope you wouldn't get offended, you know, because he'd make me sit up like, yeah. But he goes ahead to say, and he says, while I'm on the subject, people who go to church, well, let me read that. A man who's living off of other people is really stealing from them. Buckle your seatbelt right now, okay? While I'm on the subject, Kenneth Hagin says, people who go to church and don't put anything in, who never pay their tithes or give offerings, are stealing from the rest of the people. Whew. He says, they want to get blessed, but they want the other fellow to pay for it. These people need to put off the old character of the thief and put on the character of Jesus. He was a giver. Paul continued to talk about the new man in Ephesians 5 and 3. Here we go. Buckle up. But fornication, that's sex before marriage with the unmarried. Sex of any sort. I ain't going to go there. All uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. This is where the church, these are things, and I'm telling you, I've seen it, I know some people, and this needs to be preached everywhere. Amen. You can't live with somebody and come to church. Amen. That's fornication. Amen or oh me, you know. You can't, and he'll get some more into this, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. But don't let fornication or uncleanness even be named among you. Not at all. By uncleanness, Paul wasn't talking about taking a bath and using deodorant. He goes in more detail in Romans chapter 1. We're about to see what uncleanness is, and you're seeing a lot of it today, very rampant. Romans 1, 24 through 26 to 28. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's uncleanness that Paul's talking about. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, which is uncleanness. For even their women, did change the natural use into that which is against nature. It's not only against God, it's against nature. It's not natural for a woman to want a woman. It's natural for a woman to want a man. And on the other side of that, it's not natural for a man to want a man. So you can't be a Christian and be in that. You need to be delivered, set free. So he goes ahead to say, and likewise also the men, leaving their natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. One minister I listen to says that one man makes himself a vagina for another man, as a rendering, Greek rendering of that. It's not natural. It's not biblically correct. Man shouldn't lie with man. Woman shouldn't lie with woman. Nor should mankind lie with animals. Bestiality. Notice that Paul uses the word uncleanliness or uncleanness in connection with lesbians and homosexuals. This is Dad Hagin talking. I mean, he's talking pretty straight. This affects this time here. Amen. This affects us. He said to put away fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Let them not even be once named among the church. So there must be a restoration, not only of the power and authority of Christ, but also of the character of Christ. We need to walk in the light of the law of love and not to do things that offend other people. And he says, personally, I'm offended by some of the... I'm going to tell you what, he's going to hit a lot of people here. Maybe not. I'm not talking about in here, okay, but a lot of the church world. But he says, I'm offended by some of these charismatics who run around holding a cigarette or a pipe or sipping on cocktails. They'll argue, Paul said, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Well, he says, if you'd lived where the water was bad in Paul's day, you might have done that too. But that doesn't give you an excuse to be a drunkard or a wine bibber. Can you see why I like this? I mean, I'm just not downing people, you know, who are caught in these sins. This is edification. This is where the church needs to come out of a lot of this stuff. When the woke generation, the woke culture wants you to accept it, no. It's to be rejected, and you're to put it down. They'll argue that Paul said, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Well, I read that. Even Paul said, if eating meat offended was offered to idols is going to offend my brother, I won't eat any meat as long as the world stands. He said, that's the point. You don't want to offend anyone. But he's not talking about standing up to corrupt culture, because that's what the Word of God does. It brings light to the darkness. My wife and I know someone, he says, and this is Paul, or this is Kenneth Hagin again, who was an alcoholic before she was born again. She lived a straight, strict, sanctified life for 20 years in a full gospel church. Then the charismatic renewal began, and many people from the outside who weren't taught to put on holiness, which is the character of Christ, got into the church. While attending a convention, this woman went into the restaurant and saw a charismatic minister and other Christians drinking wine with their meal. And she thought to herself, if they can do that, I can. She began drinking, and that alcoholic devil got a hold of her again. And she's been an alcoholic for a good many years now, bound, and can't get free. You can say what you want to, but I wouldn't want that on my conscience. When I stand before God and He says, you caused this little one to stumble. But you don't understand grace, someone will argue. Yes, I understand grace. The trouble is, you don't understand the Bible. God's end time plan includes a time of restoration of His glory, a time of restoration of His power, a time of restoration of His gifts and ministry. And I really believe it's a time for the church to clean themselves up and so that the glory of God can flow through us. He said, I've seen occasional manifestations of the glory of God through my years of ministry. I've frequently seen the presence of God come into the building appearing like a cloud. About four times I've seen something like waves roll in from the back. Has anybody seen anything like that? Huh? Do we want to see things like that? I sure do. Amen. I've seen the glory once, maybe twice. And he said, I've seen it roll in from the back of the building, hover over the people. Although it looked like waves, it was a white cloud, a manifestation of His glory. I'm firmly convinced we're going to see more of that in these last days. We're going to move into the greater manifestation of signs and wonders than we've seen before. I believe there's going to be a revival of the supernatural. Ephesians 4:11 says, You'll find that when Christ ascended on high, He gave gifts to men. Now this is to be noted too. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the body of Christ. Our mistake, and this is Dad Hagin talking, our mistake has been that we've only recognized three of these ministry gifts. The pastor, the evangelist, the teacher. For the church to ever be what she ought to be, for us to have the ministry, this is him talking again, and do the work God intended, we must have the manifestation of the fivefold ministry. We must recognize the ministry gifts, honor them, and permit them to function in the way God wants them to function. We also must recognize what we call the gifts or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the word, the faith, gifts of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongue, interpretation of tongues. That comes when the church gets to where they're supposed to be and makes room for the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. In your individual lives, in the church, operation of the church. Notice the next verse in 1 Corinthians 12:11. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. Notice he's not dividing the gift, he's dividing the manifestations of that gift. What we call the gifts of the Spirit belong to the church. They have existed all the time. There's a lot of churches that don't know that. Amen. They have just been lying dormant. The manifestations of them is given to individual members of the body of Christ as the Spirit wills. We also need to understand this. Those who stand in the fivefold ministry offices are more or less equipped with some of these spiritual gifts in order to function in their offices. Amen. In conclusion, turn to another portion of Scripture, okay? Luke 5:36-38, and he, Jesus, spoke also this parable unto them. No man puts a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man, he says, puts new wine into an old bottles or wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the bottles. Now he says this, and this is his illustration of what this is talking about. You must understand what Jesus is using as the illustration. These wine bottles were made of skins back in the old days. Pastor Mike's taught this. Once wine was put into them, they would swell up and change the shape. And as the skin became old, it became brittle. And if wine were put in into an old skin, it would burst. Therefore, they would renew these old wine skins. First, they'd soak them in water for a long time. Second, they'd take olive oil, water and oil. Washing of the water of the Word, oil of the Holy Spirit. Second, they'd take olive oil and rub it into the skin until it became soft and pliable. Then the skins were like new again. They put new wine in them and they wouldn't burst. Jesus was saying that individuals, local churches, and this is the reason why I believe the Lord's had me to read this, is for all of us, the local churches, denominations often are just like these old wine skins. Old, empty, dead, and brittle. Say, I'm not old. I'm not empty. I'm not dead. And I'm not brittle. It may appear that way, but I ain't that way. I ain't going to be that way. I refuse to accept the norm, what they call normal. Now, how can we be soaked in the water to be renewed? He goes ahead and teaches. Paul, talking about the church, said in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. Washing of water by the Word. So there must be a fresh saturation of the Word of God. And in these latter times, God has raised up teaching ministries for this very purpose. Many of us, praise God, have been saturated with the Word of God. Others need to be. Unless they are, they'll never be able to hold the new wine. Now, we know that after they are soaked skins in water, they rub olive oil into them until they become soft and pliable. Oil is the type of the Holy Spirit. And the psalmist said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Let me see the hands of those that want to be anointed with fresh oil. Hallelujah. Get them, Holy Spirit. Fresh oil, that's what we need today. A fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it's coming. Say, I believe. I receive this fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Even the move of God that's coming. I believe I receive it. Okay. Now he says, a Pentecostal minister from England visited me several years ago. I'm almost through. Can you give me a few more moments? I don't want to wear you patient, but I really thought, and I know I heard God. He said, read this. He says, visited him from England several years ago in his office at Rhema, and he's now in his 70s. That was back in the 80s. Wigglesworth held a week-long meeting in his church in the week before he went home to be with the Lord. That brother told Mr. Wigglesworth that week before his homegoing in 57, he said, there's coming a move of God, but I'll not live to see it. The English brother continued, Wigglesworth said that this greatest move of God yet will come in the 80s. And he says, I have had that conviction myself. And he told me that Wigglesworth said, in our day, in this revival, we've had a move of the gifts of the spirits, but very little teaching in the Word. This back in the 80s now. There is coming a revival of the teaching of the Word of God, and after that revival comes, there will become fresh anointing of the Spirit. And the combination of the two revivals will bring the greatest move and harvest ever seen. Is a new wave coming? Some people are looking for something brand new, something that has never happened before. In that sense, There's never going to be a new way, but God is going to do everything He's ever done before. Go down to the ocean, watch the waves come in. You may say, that's a new wave. Yes, it's different from the wave, the one that came in before it, but it's still the same water, even though it's higher than the first wave. The move of God often comes in gently, but it keeps pushing in until, before you know it, it covers the whole territory. The truth is, the new wave started in 1982. It's here now. It's gathering momentum. It's going to continue to sweep in even greater power, greater move of the Spirit, move of the power, of the authority, and the character of God. There's even a move of God going in some of the communist countries, and I believe they're going to have a tidal wave. Now, you can receive a fresh anointing now. Amen. So, let's read this. Say, thank you, Lord, for the rain, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the early and the latter rain. Won't you all stand up with me, because this is pretty close to the end. Say, thank you, Lord. I'm receiving that outpouring. Thank you for the harvest, the precious fruit of the earth. The revival is not coming. The new wave is not coming. The revival and the refreshing is here now. And I'm in it. And I'm in it. And I want it. Do it unto me, Lord. Be it unto me, Lord. According to your word, be it unto me, Lord. Now say it with conviction. Be it unto me, Lord. According to your word. Refresh me. Refill me. I'm ready. I'm ready to be used. I'm ready to be pliable. I'm ready to go to work for you. Amen. And I walk in it. I'm a part of it. And I'll continue to be a part of it. And the work of God will be done. Okay, here's some more prophecy. So just remain standing. I'll give you a little break where you're sitting down, okay? Now, listen to what he says. Now, sit idly by and recognize not the move of the Spirit. He's telling you to just sit there and not recognize it. Feed not upon the Word of God, but rather walk in the flesh and fulfill the desires thereof, and you'll miss entirely that which is taking place in this hour and this day. That's exactly what's going to happen to some of the churches. Say, not me. Not this church. Not happening here. If I can help it, it's not happening here. Not happening to me. Did you hear that, devil? It's not happening to me. Amen. But respond ye unto the word of God. Yea, soak your mind and your heart thoroughly in the word. Let the word not only not depart from your eyes, but hide that word in the midst of your heart by speaking it, by practicing it, and doing it. Then it shall be said of thee, yea, yea, yea. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my keeper. I walk not after man, nor after the thinking of man. Amen. Nor the thoughts of man. But I walk in the light of the revelation of the Holy Spirit and His Word. I walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk in the glory of His might, and I stand strong in Him. Say, I walk in the power of His Word. I walk in the power of His Holy Spirit. I yield my body, which is my reasonable service, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I will read my word. I will make room for the word. I will make room for fellowshipping with God. And I will have the glory of the Lord shining upon me. Shining through me. I want it. He says I can have it. I'm taking it. It's mine. Okay? Hide His word in the midst of your heart by speaking it and practicing it and doing it. And then it shall be said of you, the Lord is my helper, my keeper. I walk not after men, nor the thinking of men, nor the thoughts of men, but I walk in the light of the revelation of His holy word. I walk in the power of His Spirit. And when the winds of adversity blow, and surely they will, and when the fires of persecution burn, and surely they will. And when the tongues of men shall speak against me, or thee, as surely they will, thou shalt only smile and say, I give account to the Lord. I stand before his judgment seat. And in that day, I will be able to say, Lord, I've done my best. I've been faithful. And he will say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the blessings of the Lord, prepare for thee before the foundations of the world. Yea, saith the Lord of hosts, be ye prepared. We had a word, it's been a while back, that talked about being prepared. As deep, his deep called into deep, and he said, be prepared. That's prayer. That's putting away the sinfulness of the flesh. That's getting into his presence. That's the Bible talks about prepare you yourself as a habitation for the Spirit of the Lord to dwell in. That means you get off to yourself and, you know, talk to him. Tell him, you know, tell him you want him. Tell him that you want to be cleaned up. I mean, search me, God, if there's any secret sins in me. Cleanse me of any secret sins and hidden faults. You know, I want to be an instrument of your will. I want to be an instrument through which your Holy Spirit flows. How many of you want to be that? Amen. I mean, I really do. And God's wanting the church to be that way. We're an instrument. We're an extension of Him. He's the head. We're the body. And He goes ahead to say, not only will thou be blessed and thy family be blessed. How many of you want you and your family to be blessed? Amen. Be a doer of the word. You know, just don't hear. And I know I've read a lot tonight. I know I've done that. But I also know what the Spirit of the Lord said to do. And He said, do it. And God will minister you. He'll minister you tonight. Not just here, but He'll minister you at your home. When you get into His presence, when you get into your quiet place, when you start seeking Him out, when you start putting Him first place, amen, when you start making a way for the Holy Spirit and His Word to cleanse you, you will see a change in your life like you've never thought would ever come upon you. That's what I feel impressed to say about this whole thing here, okay? And all thou that come in contact with you will be blessed. See, I want my family blessed. You want your family blessed? I want those who come in contact with me. I want them to be blessed. And the blessings of the Lord shall flow like a mighty river. But many have said, oh, I've missed it so. And I think this is very important. And this is where I believe the Spirit of the Lord is going to minister you on an individual basis. I may not necessarily ask you to come up front. But tonight, sometime, I'm going to be led by the Lord, and I want you to call upon the Lord too. But listen to these words. If this is you, oh, I've missed it so. I wish I could forget about the past, about those mistakes, those faults, those failures, even the terrible wrong sin that I've done. Yea, saith the Lord of hosts, do not count as nothing my blood. Remember, my blood, my precious blood, the divine blood, the blood of the divine Son of God was shed for the remissions of sin. The Lord has declared it. I am He that blotteth out your transgressions, and I will remember your iniquities no more. If this is you, if this is talking to you, He's saying, come before Him. Get it straight. Get it right. You know. So do not dwell upon the past. That's a good word. Amen. Because that's where the devil wants to drag you back to, is the past. Don't let him drag you in there. Don't dwell on the past. Think no longer of that which is past. Don't even let it be a part of your thinking. And when the enemy will bring a picture of it before your mind, just laugh and say, ha, 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 ha. That does not exist. And you know it don't? If you've repented of it, God says He's forgotten about it. He'll never bring it up against you. That don't exist, Mr. Devil. That just does not exist because the Father has blotted it all out. And the blood has washed it all away. And now I stand in Him, clean, hallelujah. And the enemy may persist, but the more he persists, the more you laugh. Laugh right out in his face. Come on, let's laugh. Ha! Ha, ha, ha! Come on now, participate. Don't hate, participate. Ha, 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 ha. Let it come out of you. Ha, 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 ha. Laugh at the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. And he will run away and hide. He gone. Amen. And you, in the power of God, in his love and mercy, shall abide. But some have said, now this is somebody else, this is another group. But some have said, the Lord can never use me. Now, if I was to ask you to raise your hands, I don't want you to. I know some of you. That hits some of you. So don't raise your hands. But he says, the Lord can never use me. I'm so weak. I'm so unworthy. I've fallen way too short. If that's you, listen to what he's got to say. Yea, saith the Lord of hosts, do not judge yourself after seeing the eye of men, or the judgment of the intellect of men, but rather judge yourself after the revelation of my word. Remember that it is I, even I, who blotteth out thy transgressions and refuse to remember your iniquity. That's good news, ain't it? That is I, even I, who made you a new creature in Christ Jesus, for it says, created by God in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10. And I did not make a new creature who could not stand in my presence. That's very good right there. Amen. That is very good, even if you've missed the mark. 1 John 1:9 says, you have an advocate with the Father. You go to him and you say, I have screwed up royalty. He'll understand that language and ask for forgiveness. Now, he'll say, but I did not make a new creature who would not stand in my presence, but would cringe from me, run from me and cry out, I'm unworthy, I'm undone. No, washed in the blood, cleansed by my word, filled with my spirit, having become my son, yea, a child of God, so come. Come boldly by the blood, even unto my very throne, and make your request known. Now, if you want to do that right now, I invite you to come up right now. Amen. And pray, you and the Lord. And he goes ahead and says, realize that you belong there in the throne room. In the throne room, in the very presence of God. Remember Ephesians 2, what is that, 2:4, 2:6, that says that we've been seated together with Christ, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Realize that you belong there and begin to be sensitive unto the Spirit. The problem with the church is you're more sensitive to the outward man, that flesh, than you are the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. So we got to work on that. That involves everything that I've been reading about and getting into the Word and letting this new man come out and shine and put the old man down. Amen? Realize that you belong there, and everyone will be used of the Lord. He will guide you into all the truth, and he will show you things to come. Be sensitive unto my Spirit that resides in you. Say, I have the Holy Spirit because I'm a new creation. And he lives in me. Now, if none of you can say that, I'm going to invite you to the altar and I'll pray with you here in a minute. And he goes ahead to say, oh, some have said, I don't know my place. Do what thy hand doth find to do. Yea, minister everywhere you go. Speak ye the word of God, and the word of God will work for you. Yea, saith the Lord of hosts, you will not come empty-handed. You will not be barren and fruitless, but rather you will come into my presence, eventually stand before my very throne, and thy harvest shall be great. Man, that's awesome. This God talk, I mean, he's getting right down where we live, even through this whole thing. But out of what is down to the earth or down to where we live, there is the love, the agape love that they were singing about a while ago, of a father who cares for his church and who loves his church and wants to see his church flourish and thrive. The problem is we've had the wrong mentality. Amen. Yea, saith the Lord, labor, work while it is still the day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Think thou that thou hast been, that thou hast seen the full manifestations of my glory? Think thou that thou hast seen the full manifestations of my spirit? Think thou that thou hast seen the full manifestations of my gifts? Yea, You only have seen just a little. You've only seen a glimpse here and a glimpse there, a little here and a little there. But thine eyes shall see and thine ear shall hear the manifestation of the glory of God, the manifestation of the Spirit of God, the manifestation of the gifts of God, and thou shalt have cause for much rejoicing. Yea, saith the Lord of hosts, do not expect the enemy to come in like a flood and overtake you, but expect the glory of God to rest upon you. Expect the Spirit of God that resides within you to function as the Holy Scriptures declare that He will function. And He'll rise up in you. He'll give you illumination in your mind and direction in your spirit. For it is written, He shall show you the things to come. And you'll not ever be left in the dark. For you are not children of darkness, but you are the children of light. So, walk in the light every single day, and the work of God shall be accomplished, and the glory of the Lord shall shine upon thee. And oftentimes men, that is natural men, in darkness, will see the glow upon you, and they'll even see the glory upon you. They'll even see the light shining forth from you, and come and walk with you, and be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for allowing me the liberty to be obedient to the Lord. I ask you right now, not only right now, but I ask you everything that I've read. You know, you can even go back and probably listen to it on our website. This ain't just Brother Rick up here killing time. This is something that I believe that God really wants. He wants His church to shine in this area. Sayersville needs new generation worship, new generation church. Paintsville needs new generation church. This area around here, they need more than new generation church. They need to see a true and a living Christ shining forth from His body. So we need to be the body of Christ. We need to be everything that we can be. Amen. That concludes what I've got. Does anybody